Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
A couple years ago, we took the family to Disney World. How many been to Disney World? I know Aaron and Ernest, you guys were just down there, right? But, you know, we had the whole family with us. Now, this was before Stephen was married to Jessica, so there was eight of us. But we had a whole little caravan going. Ava was about eight, Ethan was about seven, and I think Lana was five. And so Lana was still kind of doing the stroller thing, but the rest of them were kind of walking, you know, and all that. And so we had our little caravan. And if you've been to Disney World, you know, they have this thing, Main Street USA. Everybody know what that is? It's kind of the main thoroughfare right down the middle of Disney. You got to go through there to get, and of course, get anywhere, but that's where all the guests gift shops are, right? And the ice cream parlors and everything. And so I was like kind of being the leader, follow the leader. And you know how that works when you have a big group of people. It doesn't work. But I was like, guys, we're going to the gift shop. All right, Dad, sounds awesome. You all got, you know, your $10 to buy your toys with or whatever. And so there we are. We're marching. We go down there. Tamara, we go right into the first gift shop, World of Disney, looking at all this stuff, you know. And we're looking around. And sure enough, Tamara comes up to me and she goes, where's Ethan? And I remember it's Disney World and there's thousands of people. And I said, I thought you had him. She goes, I told him to be with you. You know, you're supposed to be looking after him. And I didn't. And I rushed outside. You know, I ran everywhere. Look, you can't see. There's thousands of people. I'm running around frantically. I run down the main street there. And I find him. He's sitting with two strange women crying. And they're like, it's going to be okay, buddy. But, you know, it was pretty scary thing there, you know, when you lose your kid like that. Of course, didn't know where he was, you know. And I'm feeling bad, beating myself up, that type of thing. But I was thinking about that. You know, it's amazing how that if you and I aren't careful, those things that are most precious to us, we can lose and not even know it. Those things that mean the most to us, we can lose our connection with them and not even realize it. We're all having a good time. I don't know if I was just focused, my purpose was the gift shop, you know, or I was just focused on leading or having fun or doing this and that. But I really lost focus of what was most important, right? The family, keeping us together, keeping everybody safe. And we live, I think, right now in a time where the world, our flesh, the devil, they're constantly trying to get us to disconnect from God. You heard Mom talk about it this weekend, our cell phone. You know, we should need God like our cell phone. But they're constantly trying to get us to. And the really bad thing is a lot of us, we have, and I'm guilty of this myself, and we haven't even known it. Okay? We haven't even known it. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is Samson, okay? You guys remember the story of Samson, right? He was like the first Avenger. It wasn't Captain America. It was Samson, right? I mean, so in the book of Judges, right, Judges 12 through 14, if you want to read it later, right, there's a man in there and his wife. His name's Manoah, and they're believing God. They're a God-fearing family. They don't have any kids, but they're believing that God would bless them, right? One day, an angel shows up and says, you guys are going to have a child, but this isn't just going to be any child. This is going to be a special child. God's hand's going to be upon this child. He's going to do great things, and he's going to deliver the children of Israel from your worst enemies, the Philistines. Okay, everybody know that story? He's going to be born with a supernatural strength, right? He's like the first Hulk, right? But there's one caveat, right? He has to live a life that's separated unto me. In fact, you as his parents, you have to live a life separated unto me. And if Samson ever cuts his hair, right, we know the story, he'll lose his strength, right? Everybody know that story? Raise your hand if you know that story. Okay, so if you begin to read through those chapters, I find it's really interesting. We see a gradual decline. It says in chapter 12 that we see the Spirit of the Lord actually moving in his life, right, as a teenager, right, Samson. But then as it tells the story of his life, we see all kinds of little things start to creep in, right? Just like with us, we start to see disobedience, right? starts not really listening to his parents. They say, don't hang out with this crowd. He goes ahead and hangs out with this crowd, right? We start to see a little bit of dishonesty kind of creep in there. You know, he's not really telling the truth here and there. He starts breaking some of his vows that he made to God. We see him start demanding stuff of his parents. You remember that in the story, right? He's like, I want you to get me that woman for my wife. So we see a focus really going away from God to on his own needs and on his own wants. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this, right? And so the story goes on, but yet this entire time, right, he still has the strength, right? He's still just beating Philistines up left and right until we get to Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And I think this is one of the saddest scripture verses in all the Bible. But man, it really drives it home. Judges 16, verse 20, if we could put that up there, has Delilah, right? And she, if you know the story, right, she's trying to find out. Delilah's a girl he should not be with. His mom and dad told him not to. She's part of the enemy. She's a Philistine. But he disobeyed, right? And he's hanging out with her anyway. She's trying to find out the secret to his strength, right? Finally, he tells her, right? And this is what happened. She calls Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out just as I did before and shake myself free. But here's the powerful part. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Can we read that together? But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And I know what some of you are saying is you're thinking, well, Daniel, that doesn't make sense. You know, God's always with us, right? God's with us all the time. But in your notes, you'll see there's a difference between the Spirit being in you than the Spirit being upon you. There's a difference between, yes, God's with us all the time, but there's a difference between Him, His blessing, His presence, His anointing, and His power going with us. Do you understand? Yes, He's with us all the time, but to walk in that presence, that anointing, we have to stay connected. We have to stay connected. And so I want you to see there's a difference. See, God, I think many of us, we have a lot of different priorities. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself tonight. Everybody put a smile on your face. This is not a heavy message. but, you know, I think a lot of us, we have nowadays, we're so busy. You know, we got our phones. We got all this stuff going on. Man, I got kids now, too. You know, you got Ava's gymnastics. You got Ethan's soccer practice. You got this and that. You're driving kids everywhere. And we get so distracted. We have these different spheres in our life, right? We have our sphere for this, our sphere for that, for that. And a lot of us, it seems like we put God over in this little sphere over here, the church sphere. But we keep him out of all the other ones. Does that make sense? But God, he wants to be in all those spheres. He doesn't want to be one of many priorities. He wants to be the priority. He wants you to walk in his presence, his power, his authority in all those areas, all the time. He wants to help you in each and every one of those things. Do you understand? But a lot of times we think he's got to be separate. We separate him out. And when we do that, right, we lose that power. We lose that fulfillment, that presence. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's with you, but that connection is lost. And so, like I was saying here, you know, Samson lost the connection. And just, I was thinking a couple months ago, even in my own life, I was thinking about this. This is something God's been doing in my life was, I was thinking, you know, God, I was praying one day. I've been praying a lot, but I just don't feel you like I used to. Anybody ever do that? Can I be vulnerable here? So, yeah. So God, I just don't feel you like I used to. I don't have that power, that tangible presence of God like he used to. You know, what's the problem? You know, what are you doing? You know, and it was like, now I don't hear God's voice. Like, you know, all these people, I heard God say this, I heard God say that, I was talking to God. I more have impressions, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like God impressed on me. He said, you don't hunger for me like you used to. And I was like, I pray, I listen to worship music. I preach, I lead worship. What are you talking about? And he was like, you hunger for what I can do for you. But he's like, you don't hunger for me. And then that hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow, He's like, you hunger for the benefits, right? You hunger for this and that, but you don't hunger for me. And I was like, wow. And he's like, the reason that you don't feel me anymore is because you're not seeking me like you do. You don't have the hunger, a passion that you used to have for me. Now, you have for the things, these different things that I could give you. You're seeking the benefits, but you're not seeking the benefactor. Does that make sense? And I instantly thought back. Dad always just told me growing up, he was like, Daniel, he said, do you know that if you want close relationships, you got to invest in relationships? And I was like, what does that mean? Dad said, well, you got to invest in you got to spend time with your kids if you want them to be close with you. You got to give to them, right? You got to love on them. You got to invest. There's a whole lot of people that are married here tonight, but not in love. There's a whole lot of people that are Christians tonight, but they're not in love with Jesus. Does that make sense? And so what I'm talking about is, God, I want to walk at a new level in my relationship with you. I want to be close. I want to feel that connection like I had before. It starts with hunger. It starts with passion. In Matthew 5, verse 6, let's read it together. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's do it again. Blessed are they hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Right? When we are seeking the right thing and hungering after the right thing, we have true fulfillment. And I think it's funny, you know, the world is, man, we are blessed. I think about this, you know, this is in your notes as well. It says, when you and I live in an environment of blessing and excess, we must be intentional about maintaining our spiritual hunger. We are so blessed in the United States of America, right? God's given us so much. And there's so many great things you can get involved with. I mean, from fitness to helping out with outreaches, Salvation Army. You could be doing good things, but yet you could miss the entire plot. You could fill your life up with all these wrong things, but quit investing in the relationship that matters. That's our relationship with God. Amen. We could quit being hungry for him. So tonight's big idea, what I want you to walk away with is that maintaining spiritual hunger is key to walking in the purpose God has for your life. Now, you might say, well, that's elementary. Maintaining. You have to maintain it. Nobody's going to do it for you. God's not going to come down and shake us up and say, man, you got to get on fire today. You got to be passionate. Just like if I wanted to keep an eye on Ethan, I had to keep him close to me. I had to watch him. I couldn't let him go. He couldn't be second place. He couldn't be third place. I had to keep him close. Does that make sense? It's the same way it's got to be with God. It's our responsibility. I thought it was pretty cool this week. I was reading, Dad sent a letter to all of our kingdom builders. And in it, he said that, you know, one of the marks of being healthy naturally is that we're hungry, right? If you don't have your hunger today, you're not healthy. Is that right? Right? People think something's wrong with you. It's the same way spiritually. If you and I are healthy spiritually, we're going to have a hunger. But it's up to you and I to maintain it. You know, I think about my daughter, Lana, when she was like 3 years old. She was right in that stage. She was like coming out of diapers and stuff. And she's going to love me someday for telling you this story. But I got home late from work, and I went and I thought everybody was asleep, you know. And she had climbed in. I'll just tell you the story. I went up to the pantry, opened up the pantry door, opened it. And we had this big, tall kitchen pantry, you know. I opened it, and she's on the top shelf in her pull-ups, nothing else. And she's got a box of Fruit Loops. and you know, it's amazing because I was thinking that I was like, man, she is really hungry. She looked like a monkey up there, like staring down like her, you know. But she was really hungry and she'd been fed and everything like that. But it's kind of interesting, you know, in the natural, when we don't eat, we get hungry, right? But in the spiritual, it's what we do eat that makes us hungry. Does that make sense? So what I'm trying to say is like, if you fill yourself with junk you're going to hunger for junk. If you eat Fruit Loops one time, it could become an addiction, right? And you want more Fruit Loops, right? But if you fill yourself with good things, you're going to hunger more for that. Does that make sense? And that's what the devil, that's what the world's trying to do, man. They're trying to get us to hunger and get caught up with all this other little stuff. And guess what? It's going to spoil your dinner. It's going to spoil what we should be hungering after, our relationship with God. Amen? You know, you look here, some of the guy that he was a man after God's own heart, David, in Psalms 42, verse 2. If we could, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Now, this dude had everything in the world. He had a palace full of all these chariots, all the gold. He had soldiers. He had anything he wanted. But what was he desperate for? Everything. So it doesn't matter how much money you have, what you don't, you still have to maintain it. It's up to you. It's up to you and I to maintain that hunger for God. Look at that. A man after God's own heart. He's desperate for God. So I said, God, I said, help me. I want to restore. I want to go back. I want to feel that tangible presence in my life like I used to, that approval. I know you're there all the time, but I want to walk in the anointing in every area of my life. Does that make sense? And so I wanted to share with you three things. How do we stir up a hunger for God in our life? Does that sound good? How many want more of God in your life? Do I have any hungry people here tonight? A little bit, okay. All right, so first thing we need to do when you recognize, when you wake up one day like Samson, you say, man, Spirit of God isn't what it used to be in my life. Number one, the first thing you need to do is repent. Everyone say repent. And that's 1 John 1, verse 9. One thing people don't understand about hunger is that it's humility. I'm saying, God, I need you. God, I can't make it without you. Under this thing, we talk about repent. 1 John 1, 9, it says, you know, if we could pull that verse up, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, he will forgive us and he'll purify us from all unrighteousness. But there's some things that you and I, we need to stop. Say stop. Stop. Say it like you really mean it. Stop. Stop. And you could probably already imagine it right in your head. There's some things that you need to stop nibbling from the world's table and spoiling your spiritual hunger. And it could be good. It could be, I don't know, some Netflix show or something like that. It could be basketball. It could be the Lakers. Oh, God, help me. It could be something like that. It could be good. But anything that's taken your affection, your time, your hunger from God, that's a bad thing. People you're hanging out with, songs you're listening to. Some people are like, man, Daniel's preaching the old school holiness message tonight. We need to hear it, right? I say it with a smile on my face, right? But there's some of us, there's things we let in our life now that we never would have thought about listening to, looking at 5 years ago. Amen? If we could we turn over to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. Everyone doing okay? All right. This story right here, I love this. This is the story of Jesus being baptized. Everybody know that story, right? Where Jesus goes to John the Baptist, he gets baptized. You're nodding, you know this. There's about, I think there's four different accounts in each one of the Gospels. Now, in all the Gospels, it says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, right? Everyone know what we're talking about? So John the Baptist baptized Jesus, right? He comes up. We see the Spirit of God come down like a dove, right? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, awesome. This one's a little bit different. Let's go ahead and read it, okay? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Next verse. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Next verse. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Next verse. Then John gave this testimony, and would you all say this with me, starting at, I ready? 1, 2, 3. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Let's read these last three again. Remain on him. One more time. Remain on him. Think about that. A dove, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, comes down and lands on Jesus. Okay? So let's think about this a little bit, Neil, okay? Dove comes down and let's just say lands on my shoulder right now. What am I thinking? It's weird. There's a window open in the church, right? Right? Or I just start preaching with a dove on my shoulder. What would I be thinking? It's weird, right? I would be conscious of the dove. I'd be like, wow, that dove's there. But a dove is like a fragile thing, right? It's light, fluffy, right? They're kind of skittish. So I would kind of start to be careful, wouldn't I? I'd be careful. I'd be so careful that I didn't want to do anything to make that dove fly away. Wouldn't want to scare it. Wouldn't want to offend it. Wouldn't want to do anything that would hurt it. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? The Holy Spirit, He's riding right on your shoulder. He's sitting right there. Some of us, we don't care. We're jumping in four-wheelers and going mudding. We don't even know that He's there. You need to remember, He's right there. There's things that you could do that can grieve Him. There's things that you could do that can make Him go the other way, fly away in a second. Does that make sense? That means we need to be careful the way we walk, the way we talk, whatever we do, so we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So number one, repent. There's some things you need to stop. Everyone say repent. Number two, remember. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 63, verse 7 in the ESV. It says, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praise of the Lord, according to all the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that He has granted them according to His compassion, according to the abundance of His steadfast love. But the part I like is that first part. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord. Number two is remember. Everyone say remember. How do we stir up a hunger for God in our life? Is we need to remember. The world that you and I are most aware of is what's shown in our countenance. Now, really just think about that golden nugget, you know? When I was having my conversation with the Lord, I was thinking about this, you know? Why am I being so negative lately? Why are people getting under my skin lately? It's the world I'm most aware of. Daniel, did you see what they wrote about you on Facebook? Now, if I start giving time to that stuff and give more attention to that than the Bible, God's Word, what the Lord says about me, you think I'm going to be a happy person? No. We need to be thinking about more what God's done for us, the battles He's brought us through, the things He wants to do in your life, all the things that He's given you. Think about His many mercies. How many times has God saved me and I haven't even known about it? Man, when I begin to think about it, I get a smile on my face, right? I mean, how many of you've had a friend or a son or daughter, you've walked into the room and you saw on their face, you could immediately tell something was wrong. They were down and they were dejected. You knew that they had been thinking about the wrong things. You knew that they had been focused on the wrong things, right? That's the world they're most aware of. But as children of God, we're supposed to be most aware of that world, of who we are in Christ and what He's given us. And when you think about that, man, you're going to be excited. You're going to be happy, right? You're going to experience fulfillment like you never have before. I encourage you, you need to create a blessing journal, a gratitude journal, right? We just put one for you on the church website where we can take time every day to remember what God has done. One of the ways that I stir up the fire is I remember back all the different times when you prayed and God answered those prayers, looking back at those things, man, it'll stir you up. Remember those services where God touched your heart. He spoke a word to you about your future. Think about those times you were down in the dumps and God sent somebody along your path to encourage you, right? When you begin to think about those things, when you recall those things, when you recall what it felt like when you were first born again, when you begin to remember what you were like before you were born again and what God saved you from, that gets you fired up, right? So number two, say remember. All right. Number three, we're going to return. We're going to return. There are some things that we need to start doing again. So first, there were some things we need to stop. Everybody say stop. And there are some things we need to start. Say start. Let's look at Malachi 3, verse 7. And I just want to pull out the middle part here. But it says, return to me, and I will return to you. Can we say that again? Return to me, and I will return to you. One more time. Return to me, and I will return to you. You know, when I found out that Ethan was missing from our caravan, there, a little band of people, I was desperate. I ran out that door. I was pushing people over and probably knocking over people with walkers. I was looking for Ethan, right? I was desperate. And if we want to experience the fire of God again, some of you got to be driven, you got to be desperate to get back to doing the things that you used to do when you first met the Lord. Think about those quiet times, right? I read a stat yesterday. It was just staggering, and it really explains the state of the church today. It said that the average minister in America spends 4 minutes a week in the Bible. 4 minutes a week in the Bible, the average pastor in the United States today. We get so busy organizing, we get so busy doing, putting systems together and all these different things that we leave out the thing that matters. Church is a spiritual business. We are God's people. We are a spiritual people. If we want to thrive, we got to realize that we need a spiritual manual. A lot of us, we fill ourselves up with podcasts. I love them. Self-help books, all these leadership things. But let me tell you, it doesn't have the power that this does right here. Amen? So start doing some things again. Number one, you need to start reading your Bible. Everyone say, reading my Bible. And I'm talking about get a Bible plan and stick to it and do it consistently every day. And find a little quiet spot where you can look at it and you get no distractions. Now, I love my phone. I love my Bible plans on my phone, and they're great. Maybe you could put your phone on airplane mode. Some of you, bless your hearts, you're getting so many notifications while you're trying to read your Bible. Man, so-and-so just liked my photo, and I'm going to go comment on this. What verse was I on again? And they come in there, and they interrupt that quiet time. You don't get one thing out of it, right? But I read a chapter. Well, was it good? Yeah. What was it about? I have no idea, right? So maybe you go back to one of these old school ones, or you turn notifications off your phone, the Bible reading time. Then number two is again, your daily prayer time. Now, this is so simple, but a lot of us, when things get busy, for some reason, this seems to be the first thing we get rid of. John Wesley said, I pray 2 hours every day because I have a lot to get done. I like that. I pray 2 hours every day because I have a lot to get done. Our Bible reading time and our prayer time is the last thing you should cut when things get crazy and busy and overwhelming. You give God the proper time, He's going to help you with everything else the rest of your day. Everything else is going to fall in place if you give Him the proper time. If you would, let's look at Judges 13. Going back to Samson here, Judges 13, verse 25. Again, how do we stir up a hunger for God in our life? Number one, oh, that was pretty weak. Let's try it again. Number one, number two, then number three, some things we need to stop, there's some things we need to start. So in Judges 13, verse 25, this verse is really something right here, because looking back at Samson again, This is the first kind of reference that we have that talks about the Spirit of God moving in Samson's life. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord began to move on Samson at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, in some of the translations that you have, there's a Hebrew word there called Manhana Dan is the name of that camp, okay? Manhana Dan, all right? I don't know if it's on here. There it is, right there. Cool. You guys are awesome. Thanks. This word right here, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. So this is back when Samson was on fire for God and God was first in his life. Amen? This is where it all started, where the fire, the hunger, the passion started. This word in the Hebrew right there means to camp in a secluded place. To camp in a secluded place. What am I trying to say? Yeah, quiet time. Some of you need to camp, not walk through. God, we love you today. It's so good. Some of you need to camp on your knees, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, but you need to sit there in a secluded place to see the fire of God return to your life, to have the hunger of God in your life. You got to get quiet before the Lord if you want to hear the Lord. You want to give him your full attention if you want to experience that connection like you used to have. Amen? So number one, again, how do we stir up a hunger for God in our life? Number one is to repent. Number two, remember. And number three, return.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.